Sunday, you know, Sunday we had a great time around the Lord's Supper. If you weren't here, we had a great time around the Lord's Supper, and the theme seemed to be of glory and redemption also, but glory. And my mind was turned to a couple of passages I had read recently in the Old Testament. Let's look at 2 Kings 18. And it occurred to me as we were considering the glory of the Lord, that there's so many people around us that have no clue, you know, have absolutely no clue about that glory. Of our neighbors, fellow workers perhaps, even on this street, you know, of the power, the magnificence and the glory of the Lord. I remember, you know, the phrase the last couple of years has been awesome, you know, and I remember, I don't know whether it was Wendell or whether it was somebody else from camp, you know, and I said, boy, we shouldn't use that word awesome so much. It has to do with God, you know, it has to do with, you know, the word, it says terrible in King James in many translations. You know, it's terrible, but it's actually, I mean, you know, awe-inspiring. And just the theme, the general, if you started off there, I think it was with number 51, glory, glory, everlasting. Be to him that bore the cross, who redeemed our souls by tasting death, the death deserved by us. And my mind was turned to two passages, one of which I read recently, and it was here in 2 Kings, in 18 and 19, and Hezekiah was the king. And I had been going through, about a month ago, I had been going through the Old Testament. I don't think I've mentioned this before, but maybe I did. But I've been going through the Old Testament, and I was in the Kings and Chronicles and Isaiah, because Isaiah was contemporaneous with Hezekiah, and which we'll see in a few minutes. But at this particular passage, I think it was, let's see, it was in 8, chapter 18 and verse 10, why... In verse 9, it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, that was the seventh year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria, and he besieged it for 3 years. Okay? It took him 3 years to take the city of Samaria and the region around the city of Samaria, but he took it. And it says in verse 11, he carried away Israel into Assyria, put him in several different places by a river. And it says in verse 12, he took them there because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. Boy, it's important for us to obey the voice of God. And we talked about his glory on Sunday. But it's so important for us to obey. You know, the prophet Samuel told Saul, right? You know, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, Saul said, well, we took the best of the animals to slay, you know, for worship. The people took the best of the animals to slay to worship. You know, Samuel says to him, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And it says here that the children of Israel in Samaria were carried away into Assyria because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, they would not hear them nor do them. And then a few years later, about 7 years later, why Sennacherib came up from Assyria, and he came up against the walls of Jerusalem to engage the Jews in Jerusalem and Judah with battle. But first of all, in the first part, where there was a payoff here, and Hezekiah actually paid Sennacherib. Was it Sennacherib? Yeah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, in verse 15. And it's confusing. If you read 14, it's a little confusing. Let's read that. Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, saying, I have offended. Return from me that which you would put on me, I will bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. It sounds like he was giving Hezekiah this silver and gold, but Hezekiah said he had offended. And what it was is he was telling him how much silver and gold he wanted, I believe. And I didn't look this up in any concordances, but that's the only way it makes sense. And it says in verse 15 that Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. Some of the glory of the temple was given to the king of Assyria as a payoff, as a bribe, to let him alone. And what a terrible time, what a terrible event that was. Hezekiah Hezekiah later on was to show the emissaries from Babylon all of Israel, and it was going to lead to a downfall and a captivity to Babylon. God spoke to him later, but now it wasn't in Hezekiah's time, it was after that. Well, later, in verse, 19, verse 17, the king of Assyria sent several, Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem, and they went up, came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool. By the way, they found the pool of Siloam last week. I read on the internet last week, they found the pool of Siloam as they were doing archaeological work outside or near the edges of Jerusalem. That was the first time, I guess, that had been discovered. So that was just a recent, just this past week that came out in the media that the pool of Siloam has been discovered, rediscovered, I should say. But anyway, he stood by the upper pool, it says, a conduit by the upper pool, by the highway, by the fuller's field, and then they just challenged the Jews. And in verse 19, Rabshakeh says to them, speaking out of Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which thou trustest? And he says, thou sayest, then there but vain words, I have counsel and strength to the war. Now on whom do you trust? Who do we trust? And just for the daily things of life, are we anxious for things? And certainly we're concerned about Bill and his health and others. But, it says one of the challenges that Rabshakeh gave to the people of Israel is, who do you trust? Verse 22, if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? And said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. I pray thee, give payments, give pledges to my lord the king of Assyria, and I'll deliver you 2,000 horses and so forth. And he comes up and he taunts them. And then in verse 26, some of the Jews said to Rabshakeh, don't talk in the Hebrew language, speak in the Syrian language. Didn't want some of the people up on the wall to hear all the gory details that Rabshakeh was talking about. And in verse 28, Rabshakeh stands and cries with loud voice in the Jews' language and says, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Verse 35, who are they among all the gods of all the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? And Rabshakeh was really ripping on the Jews up on the wall, that huge wall going around Jerusalem. And they could hear him, and yet it said in another place, which we'll see in a couple of minutes, they answered him not a word. In verse 36, the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not a word. So they bring this stuff, they bring these words to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah sends to Isaiah in verse 2. He sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God. Boy, what? That's a bad spot to be in, to reproach God, isn't it? And yet this king of Assyria was reproaching the living God, as Hezekiah says to Isaiah. And perhaps he will reprove the words which the Lord thy God, and will reprove. So let me repeat that. Maybe the Lord thy God will hear all the words and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Hezekiah had no doubt that God was hearing what was going on. Sometimes in our in our problems in life, we wonder whether God really knows what we're going through. But he does. And Hezekiah is surrounded by this huge army. And he sends to Isaiah. And he encourages him to go to the Lord. So the servants of Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to him, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he'll hear a rumor and return to his land. now cause him to fall down by the sword in his own land. And sure enough, in verse 8, he went back to his own land. He had heard that there was departed from Lachish, and when he heard say of the king of Ethiopia, he's come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again to Hezekiah, saying, let not the Lord in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of Assyria. And he's really working on the Jews and working on Hezekiah. Have the gods of the nations, verse 12, delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed? And he lists all these countries, several countries that were destroyed. But Hezekiah takes the letter, and he takes it to the temple, and he lays it before the Lord. You know, have we had a problem that we've really had? Have you ever had a problem in writing, whether it's a summons or anything like that? Maybe a problem with a loan or mortgage or anything in your life, and actually just kind of turned it around, set it on your bed before the Lord and got down and prayed? Take a look at this, Lord. And that's what Hezekiah has done here. He says he receives the hand of the messengers in verse 14 and read it, and he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And he prayed and said, Lord God of Israel, which dwell between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. And we thought about that this morning, the Lord's Supper, that the Lord is God, and his glory, and his power, and his splendor. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Open, Lord, your eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. I love this. Isn't it really this great prayer? Can we talk to God that familiarly as we speak to him in our own personal devotions? Hezekiah had a relationship here. He didn't just have Isaiah pray for him, but he had a relationship here. He says, God, these weren't really gods at all. That's why they conquered them. Therefore, they've destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. And then the Lord answers a second time through Isaiah. And he said in verse 27, God talking here about Sennacherib, excuse me a minute. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Remember when, I think it was Elijah, where God's, or the enemy's plans were being revealed to Elijah. And Elijah, the king said, somebody's a spy within us, you know. And then somebody said, no, it's not. It's the prophet Elijah, you know. And here it's God himself. And he says to Sennacherib, basically, he says, I know your abode. I know where you live. How many times have we heard that phrase when there's one person against another? I know where you live, you know. I know where you live, and you're going out and you're coming in and you're rage against me. I will put a hook in your nose, verse 28, and my bridle in thy lips, and turn you back by the way by which you came. And he mentions a couple other things. And in verse 32, he said, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he'll not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come against it with a shield, or cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend the city, to save it, for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. It came to pass that night, the angel of the Lord went out, and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 people, 2.5 rich stadiums full of people, dead in one night. We read of thousands of people being killed in Iraq, you know, during the course of this war. Iranians, civilians, soldiers, you know. Here in one night, 2.5 rich stadiums full of people, 785,000 people in one night. And the Hebrews didn't lift up a hand to do that. God, as he said in verse 34, God defended the city, he eliminated the enemy. The survivors split and rose early in the morning. They were all dead corpses. So the king of Assyria departed and went back and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And when he was worshiping in the house of his god, two of his sons assassinated him and killed him, just like just like the Lord had prophesied through Isaiah in the previous chapter, the previous section. And he had come against Israel, or against Israel, and had challenged, who is that God? Who is the God that's going to save you from me? You know? And there was another one after that, a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Let's look at Daniel 3. Daniel 3. Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar had set up a 90-foot statue, right? 60 cubits, 90 feet. I was trying to think of what there was in Blaisdell 90 feet high. I'm not sure there is anything in Blaisdell 90 feet high. I know these trees out here are about 75, 80 feet high outside our building here. Maybe not even that high, actually. But there might be something in Blaisdell 90 feet high. But that's a pretty tall image, 90 feet. You know, I'm only 6 foot. That's, well, never mind. We're not going to go into how many of that is. Let's see, 20 and 25 of me, you know, standing on top of each other. Get a pretty flat head on the bottom. Right? But here was this statue. And the people were supposed to bow down. And in verse 3, of course, well, we know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. And the leaders told them about those three. And in verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these three men before the king. And he spoke and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready at that time, what time you hear the sound of the cornet and flute and harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, this was quite an orchestra, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image, hear that, it was just a cacophony of noise, I don't know which. You know, it was either a sound you could understand, or it was just a blatant burst of noise. Right? We don't know. You fall down and worship the image which I've made, well, but if you don't, if you worship not, you'll be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He was going to find out soon enough. He's going to see him in the fiery furnace. Who is that God? You know, the arrogance of man. We've got to be careful we aren't arrogant. You know, these two kings were arrogant. Sennacherib didn't think anybody could, you know, he cleaned out probably a dozen kings before he came back to Jerusalem. He had taken Samaria with no problem. It took him 3 years, but he got it. And he told, he was using all these others as an example that nobody can protect you from me. I'm here, and I'm going to take your city. Give up. And now Nebuchadnezzar has exalted himself again, has exalted himself also. And has the audacity to say to these three men, who has the power? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And he never expected they'd have an answer for him. You know? Never expected to have an answer for him. Ever have an opportunity where somebody asks you a question about the Lord and you give them an answer and they didn't think you could? Or and then maybe you didn't think you could either, but the Lord gave you the answer. And Lord gives us answers. He gives us words in times of trial. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered him and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, verse 16, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. It's not, we're not dumbfounded in answering this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, let it be known unto you, unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. And now there's some real strength. You know, would we have strength to speak that? Would we have strength to jump in and say that? I hope we would. You know, but these three men, no problem. They came up and made a stand. And we know the rest of the story. Them being cast in, their garment wasn't even singed. Their turbans weren't singed. They didn't have the smell of smoke on them. Bethel and I have been sitting in the house the last couple of days, and our neighbor's been doing a lot of rearranging of his house. And he's finally getting to the point where they're burning all the cardboard. And we're sitting there in the living room yesterday and tonight, too. And Gino's burning cardboard again, you know. And you can just smell the smoke, you know. And if you walked out there, you'd have it on your your hands. You'd smell it, you know, if you walk up to a little over and talk to him. And I hope he gets done with his remodeling soon. But anyway, these three, they weren't singed. Their clothes weren't damaged. They walked about in the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar was amazed. And he looked in, and there was four. One is like the son of the gods. So they bring him out. And those that cast the forth were thrown in, and all their, you know, and we know that story too. But verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word." They changed the king's word. "And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god." Quite a statement from a king that a couple minutes ago was quite arrogant. A few hours ago, maybe an hour and a half ago, was quite arrogant and said, "What God is that? That just shall deliver you out of my hands." And now he says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And he was blessed because he saw what God's servants did. They stood up for what they believed. It's coming a day, you know, as this country is changing. We need to take a stand for what we believe. The Senate has passed a bill against hate, a hate bill, okay? A hate crimes bill. Remember the one in Canada that was passed, the hate crimes bill, where you can't speak on homosexuality from the pulpit anymore. In certain, I don't know whether it's in certain provinces or against just the whole Dominion of Canada. But there's a couple of pastors that are up on trial in Canada because they preached out against homosexuality. There's two pastors down in Australia. That's an ongoing trial for 9 or 10 months now, where that they haven't come down on the listing on that, on a decision on that yet, where the Muslims have brought them up on charges that they preached against the Muslim faith, and they brought them up on charges as a hate crime. We've got a bill that's been passed by committee in Senate already, going to the House next, or else there's a separate one in the House. You want to be careful how that bill is worded. You need to talk to your congressman about how that law is worded to protect our speech, because it's already been interpreted in two different nations, independent nations, to outlaw the preaching of, you know, the word and raise a stance on homosexuality. We need to make stands. You know, these guys made a stand. Last week when we came back from the Sunday school picnic, and after we left here, after cleaning up and stuff, and we're with you people, some of you people, we started home, and I went up Jeffrey Avenue, and there was a moon was coming. Moon was right straight ahead as I was going south on Jeffrey. I said to Bethel, "Got to take the telescope out." So we got the telescope out. We had about four or five neighbors come over, and I showed them the moon about 10 o'clock, 10:30, whatever time that was. I don't know, but well, it had to be about 10 o'clock. And then I thought they went back to their homes, you know, and Bethel went in. And she was doing up the towels from the picnic. And I said, "I'm going down to the beach. There's usually a bunch of people down at the beach, and I'm going to show them the moon." So I have some Bible verses on my telescope. And sure enough, there was one couple in a van. Usually there's about 10 or 12 cars down there. There was one couple in a van down there, and they were looking at fireworks over from Lackawanna Stadium there. And so I put the telescope on the fireworks, and we were watching that for a little while. And then he came over and he looked at that and he said, "Oh, I like your Bible verses on your telescope." And the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And then one, Daniel 12:3, I have that verse on too. And he said to his wife, "I had to do something with that with my Bible study." And I said, "Oh, that got my ears pricked up, you know." So we started to get into a conversation, and he mentions that he goes into astronomy a little differently than I do. I was showing him what I did with the names of the stars and things. And he said, "Well, I teach it with a sextant and how the stars are fixed in their spots so that you can circumnavigate around the world using the North Star and some other stars in the Southern Hemisphere and not get lost." And he says, that to me shows the orderliness of God's creation and the splendor of the heavens. I said, "Yeah." I said, "You're a sailor." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, and this guy is probably 65, 70, I would say. And he said, we had the little sailboat that we used to have down in Buffalo to take the children. It used to be down on the Sea Lion. It used to be down on Lake Chautauqua. And we used to take the handicapped children out on the lake with this. And He says, we couldn't afford to keep it. And I said, yeah, that was sitting by the icebreaker there off of Michigan Avenue there. And he said, yeah. So we talked, and he said, well, I'm using Psalm 24 next week. So let's turn to Psalm 24. I said, I'll have to look that up. So Psalm 24, it says that in verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that trust therein. By the way, this guy was, this brother was from Presbyterian Church in Hamburg on Main Street, down from where the old New York telephone office used to be by the library, just around the corner here. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. And I read that, and I thought about the story about the rich man and the foolish man. Wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And I read this, and it says God founded the earth upon the seas, and he established it upon the floods. I don't know about that. We'll have to talk about that someday when I get to heaven. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. In Revelation, we see the Lamb standing before the throne, taking the seal and opening the scroll, opening the book, I mean, and breaking the seals. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and his righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And of course, this was a couple hours before we came to the Lord's Supper and talked about glory, you know, and the glory of the Lord. Lift up ye heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. You know, he told Hezekiah, I will protect this city. In the next stage, 185,000 people dead. How long does it take to bury 185,000 people? Or to burn their bodies after you spoil their bodies and taken all the spoil from them? What a mess. But the Lord did that overnight in terms of taking all those lives. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. I didn't check out where else in Isaiah, contemporaneously with Hezekiah or not. But there's some verses in Isaiah that says, I am the Lord. So Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord. And my glory will I not give to another. Chapter 48 and verse 9, for my own sake, even for mine own sake I will do it. For how long shall my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. My heart was just turned this past week from those passages, this one here in Psalm 24, which I read that evening when I got back, Saturday evening. But then that time we had around the Lord's Supper, I hope you took some time this past week to reflect on the glory of the Lord and his redemptive work, as our brother also mentioned at the Lord's Supper. It was a blessing to me as I went in and I looked. Of course, a lot of verses with the word glory in the book of Isaiah. Just in the book of Isaiah, there's probably over 40 verses that use either glory or some root of the word glory, some part of that root word, talking about the glory of God. But had just a great time in the Lord's this past week, considering that and considering the splendor and the majesty and the power of our God. We looked at a couple guys that were very, very sarcastic in their consideration of God, made an affront against God's power, and God just stepped in and defended his people. And as we put ourselves in under the will of the Holy Spirit and under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and as we worship him not just on Sundays but during the week, as we consider who he is and what he has done for us, even as I prayed this morning for this evening, for the twins here. You know, we sometimes ask a lot. We need to give thanks a lot too, and then reflect on who he is and what he's done. It's easier to take those little petitions and turn them around to him and say, here, look at what they're saying about it. Look at my problems. You know, like Hezekiah did. Turns a note from Sennacherib around. Lord, look at this. And the Lord said to that problem, I know where you live. I know when you go out. I know when you come in. We have to remember that God knows all that. You know, sometimes when we get caught up in our stresses, and we might get into whether it's depression or whether it's fear, whether it's panic, we need to turn the tables on Satan and just turn the letter around and show it to the Lord. And then give it to the Lord. Lord, here's the problem. Take a look at it. Read it. You know, study it. I don't know what to do with it. Come save. Come deliver. And then watch him do it. Hezekiah was confident that God was going to take control. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were confident that if they were thrown into the furnace, God would take care of that situation. But he said, even so, even if you throw us in the furnace, we're still not going to, even though you threatened to throw us in the furnace, we're still not going to worship you. You know? Because they had that confidence in God. Let's go out tonight with confidence and also the determination to turn our problems around and present them to him so that he can read them, he can see them, and then give them to him and help him, ask him to take care of that problem if you're in that situation. Let's pray.